Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. We've been following this story for a while, since the very beginning, and I don't want to follow it anymore. I want there to be a positive result. We all do. I mean, he's a journalist that was just working, Danny Fenster, in a country called Myanmar, going to the airport to kind of surprise his family in the Detroit area, though at one point in time, Danny lived in the Chicago area, and they wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him board the airplane, and they send him right to prison. On the phone is Danny Fenster. Danny, welcome once again to WGN. How are you, and how is the family holding up here? How many days has it been? I bet you know.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Right off the top, I just have to say I apologize. You've been so amazing having me on, telling the story, keeping it alive. It was a very rough week last week, even this past week. I think we've done a great job of staying upbeat and getting the word out and trying to be positive. But it was a week full of rage and disappointment, and we're riding these waves, and so we really appreciate you. Gosh, I think we're, I don't know, day 49 or 50?
Yeah.
It's all starting to blur together. Pretty wild.
Did I do the setup correctly? I mean, here he was just trying, a journalist just doing his job, not being involved with local politics, which was a mess there. They literally had an uprising in the country, but not being personally involved in any of that and wanting to come home. And they not only, without warning, say, no, you can't, right at the airport, but send him to a prison called the Insane Prison. Have I got that part right?
That's correct. Insane Prison, different spelling, I-N-S-E-I-N. And that's correct. He's an editor at a digital publication, one of only a handful of privately run media companies. And he was not using his personal voice in any way. He wasn't protesting. This is a journalist with a lot of integrity and responsibility and objectivity who is just doing his job. He made it through security at the airport on May 24th, literally minutes from boarding the plane. And he was taken into questioning, interrogation.
Well, and custody, I suppose, and then thrown into this prison. You said this week has been filled with, I don't know your exact, maybe disappointment was the word you used. What has happened this week?
Just not much information, other than, I mean, it was a great week in the sense that my parents finally, I think on day 46, so late Thursday night, which was Friday morning in Myanmar, they got to talk to him for the first time. And so getting to experience that, watching my parents talk to him on the phone, was very emotional and, you know, relieving at the same time. But, you know, there's another wave of COVID that has hit the country really hard, and the prison was not spared. And it sounds like he has some symptoms that are most likely COVID. He has not been tested. And we're very concerned and, you know, continuing to call for his immediate release.
How was the call with the parents set up? How did that happen?
So what happens is the prison calls the embassy on a landline. They pick up that phone. The consular officer talks to Danny, makes sure he's okay, establishes contact in any other way. And then they have another phone where we are on the receiving line, and they basically hold the phones together.
Huh.
You know, thankfully, we've been able to hear him, been able to talk to him, but not ideal. No video chat or FaceTime or anything like that.
And what are the public officials telling you? I know you've been in touch with everyone at the state level and at the national level, but not yet the vice president or the president, and in my humble opinion, of which at times I do respect, I really do think that it, you know, I mean, here we have an American citizen for no reason being held, or no apparent reason, being held in a nation that we have relations with. So this should not be happening, of course. So what is the latest with your conversations with those public officials?
Well, we're so grateful to our government. They've been a real partner with us, and that's how we want it to be. We want to work together, but at the same time, and we agree with you, we're trying to push them as much as we can to keep the pressure on. So we continue having these discussions. We've spoken to national security advisors for the administration. Obviously, we're continuing to talk to State Department once a week. We're talking with the ambassador and the embassy in Yangon, in Myanmar, every other Sunday night, early Monday morning for them. So as you said, we're doing all we can, and we're not resting. Things are quiet. There's not much information, but we're continuing to push and push and push. It's all we can do.
Well, you know, when this first happened, Danny is fortunate that his brother Brian, you, understand the media, kind of work in a business adjacent to this industry, so you know how important it is to get the word out there. Otherwise, who's even heard of Myanmar? I mean, the story may not have even hit the news, let alone be headlines in the news, and perhaps locally, but that would be about it. And instead, you were everywhere, and your parents were, on every television network, on every cable channel. But as would be predicted, and good, bad, or otherwise, just kind of the way things are with the media now, you kind of disappear after a week. It's turning over to the next story, the next story, the next story, the news cycle, as we say. So has that been frustrating, a lack of ability to get? I've stayed on top of this, as you mentioned, but has there been a lack of interest in the media? Because, okay, we've been there, we've done that.
Yeah, we're kind of going back to the drawing board. Look, this was all anticipated, and I have to give my parents, my wife, my sister-in-law, my two first cousins, our friend Lauren, our friend the Downies, our friend Robbie, like all these people in the community who have built the Facebook group, built the website, made the shirts, did this, did that. We anticipate all this, and we've done a great job up until now. I think we've gotten the word out. And we're kind of going back to the drawing board, seeing what other type of kind of digital campaigns we can do to re-engage people, re-energize people. But that's it. I mean, we don't want to lose this amplification of this story and its face, and we want to keep it out there. Again, this is all we can do.
Okay, so how can people help?
We have our website, bringdannyhome.com. There's several links there, including linking out to a MoveOn.org petition we have, which, again, urging this administration to keep putting the pressure on. And we just have different areas of the website where you can kind of get to know Danny. Our goal all along has been to humanize him so people all over the world can kind of connect with this. It's not just a news story. It's not just a headline. This is a person, and we're a family here that's in pain and that's trying our best from a grassroots level to get him home.
Yeah, he was a journalist just doing his job, and we have journalists located all over the world, and I suppose that some of this could, one could argue, come with the territory, but still, this should not happen, and he didn't do anything wrong, by all accounts. What's worse than anything else is that your family has to deal with the unknowing. So if he were in a nation where, yeah, you can FaceTime and you can see him at least, it's still not better because he's not home, but at least you could see he's safe. You don't even have really that ability. Great that mom and dad got to talk to him. The question that I kind of revealed a couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago at this point on the show, is that it's not only mom and dad and other family members, it's grandma. And your grandmother turns out to be a survivor of the Holocaust. Does she even know this is going on?
She has no idea, and unfortunately, you know, it's just a family decision to keep it that way. Obviously, she's lived quite a life, has quite a legacy for our family.
Sure.
But it's just too much, unfortunately. It's hard. It's very hard.
I'm sure that's an understatement. I can't fathom what you're going through. You could purchase T-shirts, actually, to support, as well as signing the petition and doing anything else the Facebook page or the website asks you to do. Maybe I feel a bit closer to this because I'm a journalist, but I'm not the kind of journalist that goes overseas and covers anything. But I still somehow, this is not supposed to happen, you know, and it did. And we need to do something about it. Bring Danny home. That's the hashtag. And that's the website, Brian.
BringDannyHome.com. Yeah, and Steve, if I can just, can I add one last thing? I know we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming off the heels of a 4th of July holiday, enjoying our freedoms and our rights and our expression. If this is something that you, if those are things you care about, this story should really matter to you because, yes, it's about my brother, someone's son, someone's friend, someone's husband, but this is about freedom and democracy and open societies. And Danny is a peaceful warrior for all of those things.
Well put. And I promise, I promised you at the start I would stay on top of the story and not let it go. And I promise to do that. And hopefully there'll be good news at some point soon. My best to your family.
Thank you, and thank you so much to your listeners.